Welcome to the Brown Edwards Benefits Buzz podcast, where we provide guidance and discuss topics that may be impacting your employee benefit plans. I'm your host, Brittany Quinn. I'm an audit partner based out of our Roanoke, Virginia office. If you're unfamiliar with Brown Edwards, I encourage you to visit our website where you can learn more information about our service lines, our locations, and our skilled professionals. A link to our website can be found in the description of this podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing eligibility and enrollment errors. This topic impacts all types of benefit plans, from 401ks to ESOPs to health and welfare plans. Joining me today is Caitlin Tolliver, who works closely with employee benefit plans and sees firsthand how these issues arise and, more importantly, how they can be prevented. Caitlin, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Brittany. I think this is definitely a topic that plan sponsors can relate to.
When we talk about eligibility and enrollment errors, we're really talking about situations where the plan is not operating in accordance with the plan document. Caitlin, can you get us started and explain what these types of errors are?
Absolutely. Eligibility errors happen when employees are allowed into the plan too early or too late based on the plan document provisions. Most plans have specific rules such as a minimum age, a service requirement, or a designated entry date such as the first of the month or the first of the quarter after eligibility is met. Enrollment errors, on the other hand, happen after someone is eligible. That's when deferral elections aren't implemented correctly, auto enrollment doesn't kick in, or payroll deductions don't start when they should.
And it's important to emphasize that these are not intentional mistakes. They're process errors. And most errors happen because of a misunderstanding or misinterpretation, manual tracking, or a breakdown of communication between HR, payroll, and service providers. So let's make this real for listeners. These issues tend to sound theoretical until you see how easily they can happen. Caitlin, can you share some common eligibility errors that you have seen?
Sure. One common issue is incorrect service calculations. For example, a part-time employee might work 1,000 hours over a two-year period, but the plan requires 1,000 hours in a single 12-month period. And if HR is tracking cumulative hours instead of plan-defined service hours, that employee may be enrolled too early.
Which sounds generous, allowing them to benefit early, but from a compliance standpoint, is considered an error.
Exactly. Another frequent issue that we see is applying the wrong entry date. So if a plan allows entry on the first of the month or quarter after eligibility, enrolling someone immediately or upon hire would be a violation of plan terms.
So, for example, if plan entry is each quarter and the employee is hired on July 2nd, just one day after the start of the quarter, they must wait until October 1st to enter the plan.
Right. And we also see mistakes with rehired employees where someone who may have already met those eligibility requirements during their previous employment is treated as a brand new employment and may be forced to requalify based on service requirements or entry dates.
So to avoid these types of errors, it's really important for plan sponsors to familiarize themselves with the break in service rules for their plan. Let's switch to enrollment. These errors occur after the employee enters the plan.
Auto enrollment is a big one here. We've seen situations where companies switch payroll systems and forget to reestablish those auto enrollment settings within those systems. Another common issue is HR and payroll misalignment, where HR is maintaining deferral forms and they don't provide those forms or communicate changes to payroll, so updates to deductions get missed. We also see manual errors with deferral elections where, for example, someone elects a 6% deferral and it is set up as a 3% deferral.
And another situation that we have seen occur quite frequently that impacts both enrollment and eligibility is when management decides to switch TPAs, switch service providers, and a new plan document is needed. Specifically, the error is a result of the new TPA misinterpreting or misunderstanding the plan provisions in that existing plan document. So let's picture this real life example. You change TPAs, you communicate to the TPA that you don't want to make any plan changes, and you, the plan sponsor, HR, and payroll continue operating the plan as you had previously. Meanwhile, the TPA misinterpreted the provisions, and in that written plan document that's now on file, now doesn't align with how the plan is actually being administered. So now your plan is not operating in compliance with the plan document. Even though there was no intent of changing the terms of eligibility or enrollment, the plan is now inadvertently violating the plan provisions.
Absolutely. And this is unfortunately a situation that we see quite often.
So let's discuss why these errors matter. First, from a compliance standpoint, it's considered a failure. The IRS and the DOL expect the plan sponsors to follow the plan document exactly as it's written.
Second, there are financial consequences. Missed deferrals often require the employer to make corrective contributions plus earnings, and those costs can really add up. And the third piece is employee impact.
Absolutely. Employee trust is big. When someone realizes that they missed out on retirement savings because of administrative error, it can really damage their confidence in the plan and the employer. So let's talk about some prevention strategies. The good news is these errors are easily preventable. So let's talk about the controls that can make the biggest difference.
First, make sure your plan provisions are clearly documented and understood. Not just by HR, but by payroll, finance, and anyone else involved in plan operations. Second, automate eligibility tracking whenever you can. Manual spreadsheets are one of the biggest risk factors that we see. And third, regularly reconcile HR and payroll data. This step alone catches a lot of issues early.
And let's not forget training. Training is huge. Anyone involved in the onboarding or payroll setup should clearly understand the plan provisions and evaluate your service providers. Strong TPAs, strong record keepers often have alerts that flag missed enrollments before they become major problems. However, even good controls, errors can happen. So what should you do if you discover one?
First, don't panic. The IRS has a formal correction program called EPCRS, and many errors can be self-corrected if they're caught early. Typically, corrections involve making up missed deferrals and employer contributions plus earnings. But don't forget, communication is key. Being transparent with affected employees goes a long way.
And recently, the Secure 2.0 Act expanded the ability for plan sponsors to self-correct, and specifically these operational errors, without penalty, as long as they're not egregious or are related to any misuse of assets.
Exactly.
So eligibility and enrollment errors are common, but they're also one of the most preventable plan issues out there. With clear plan knowledge, strong controls, and regular reviews, the plan sponsors can stay compliant. Caitlin, thanks again for joining me.
Thanks, Brittany.
And thank you for listening to this episode of Brown Edwards Benefits Buzz podcast. If you found this episode helpful, feel free to share it and subscribe for more insights. Also, if you have a topic that you'd like us to cover, feel free to reach out. We'd love to hear from you.